In the gospel reading today, we hear about this story of Martha and Mary, and this has been twisted and really made a mess of in so many ways that really has nothing to do with what the story is about. What happens in this is that Martha, taking care of all the tasks of serving, was frustrated. She wasn't getting much attention. She wanted to be noticed. So she comes to the Lord and says, "Don't you care that my sister is not helping me? Tell her to help me." The Lord says, "Mary chose the better part." Then goes on to tell us that there is only one thing that is necessary. The one thing necessary is the Lord Jesus. We have tried to make so many other things so important, but he's the only thing that truly is important. And so when we look at it and ask, what is it then that Mary is doing? She's soaking up everything our Lord teaches. She's focused on him. And that's what we have to do as well. Again, this isn't a condemnation at all of what Martha's doing as far as the hospitality goes. That's something that's needed as well. And for the Middle Eastern people, even to this day, hospitality is huge. We see it even in the first reading. Listen again to what Abraham says when he sees these three men. He says something rather astounding to us because it's just not the way that we think. They said, "Sir, if I may ask this favor, if I can ask this favor, please, Don't go on before I do all these things. Let's bring some water out and bathe your feet. Let me give you something to eat." They didn't ask him. He's asking them the favor of allowing him to serve them. That's the Middle Eastern hospitality. So that's not what our Lord was condemning at all when he spoke to Martha. But rather, it was simply the selfishness, the self-seeking. If she was simply focused on the charity of serving, no problem. But when she took her focus off of the charity and brought it back selfishly to herself, that's where she got herself in trouble. So now we bring it to the next level. What about us? We live in a society that we really haven't learned about hospitality very well. And we now live in a society that doesn't even know charity very well. Selfishness is what reigns in our society. And so we fall into that same problem. So now let me offer a challenge to you, or at least a question to be able to think about. If someone were to come to you and ask you if you would be willing to be part of something that would be a huge endeavor, something that could change the lives of lots and lots of people in the world. It's going to be difficult, but you have an opportunity to be part of this. Or you can just carry on with your life. The choice is yours. Or let's put it another way. If you were offered the opportunity to do something out of pure charity for others, or you could sit and eat your McDonald's and play video games and live your cushy life, which one are you going to choose? Because that's exactly what's being done. That's the offer that's being made. You and I have an opportunity to actually be part of the single greatest act of love, and the single greatest event that has ever happened in human history. When we listen in the second reading to what St. Paul says, on the natural level, it sounds foolish. Listen to what he says. "I rejoice in my suffering for your sake." Really? When's the last time you did that? Praise the Lord, I get to suffer some more. What a gift. Well, that's exactly what St. Paul is doing. He's rejoicing in his suffering because he sees it as a gift. Now we look at that and go, how? How could you see that as a gift? How is that possible? Because of the charity. It's only possible because of love. So you look at the people around you that you love. Would you be willing to suffer for your children? I sure hope so. You have to anyway, whether you want to or not. Children are the greatest gift that God can give you, and at the same time, they're also the greatest means of suffering. Well, maybe your spouse is even more. But nonetheless, they provide an immense amount of struggle and suffering for you. And you're willing to accept it without complaining because you love them. For those who are married, the cross looks and feels just like your spouse because it is. The point of the task of spouses is to help one another to become saints. Now you can help your spouse to become a saint by being so miserable and horrible that you have to become a saint just to live with you. But that's not the best way to help them to become a saint. So what God does is he offers us all these opportunities to be able to accept the struggles and sufferings and difficulties that come along. And there is not one person who is here, from the littlest little baby all the way to the oldest person here, who doesn't have some suffering. It's inherent in our lives. And the amazing thing is that as Americans, we have done absolutely everything in our power to be able to avoid it. But God has an infinite imagination and an infinite sense of humor, so he just keeps inventing new ways. We get around one thing, he'll just give us a different way. It's going to be there. We're all going to have it. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's mental, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's relational, whatever it might be, it doesn't matter. We've all got some suffering. But what are we doing with it is the real question. Is there a difference between your suffering and the suffering of an animal? If you don't do anything with it, no. But if you use that suffering for something that's good, yes, it's a completely different thing. It's a 180-degree difference. So what does all this mean? Well, St. Paul goes on to explain why he's rejoicing in his suffering. And he says, in my flesh, I'm filling up what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ. So is something lacking in our Lord's suffering? No. Well, what does St. Paul mean then? What he means is that Jesus loves you and me so much that he is giving to us an opportunity to participate in the work of redemption, in the work of salvation. That's what he's giving us the chance to do. So when we think of Jesus, we have to see this in two different ways. There's the historical, physical person of Christ who walked the earth 2,000 years ago. And there's the mystical person of Christ. When we talk about the mystical Christ, we say that Jesus himself is the head and we are the members. We are members of Jesus Christ through our baptism. So when we look at what happened in the suffering of our Lord that brings about our salvation, we wouldn't be saved if he wasn't willing to do this. He loved us so much that he was willing to accept all that happened in his passion. But he also knows that if we recognize what he has done for us, that we don't want to just sit back and be passive observers and say, well, that was nice of him to do that for me. Sure, that's great, but I don't want anything to do with it. No, he knows that if we recognize what he's done for us, we're going to say, I wish I could be part of it. Is there something I can do to participate in this? And that's exactly what he's done. What is lacking in the suffering of Christ is simply the part that he's left for us. In his passion on the cross, he did absolutely everything that he knew that we wouldn't be able to. In other words, all of the members of the mystical body, from the time that he died all the way till the end of the world, what little bit we would be able to take on, he left for us. He did everything else. But again, what a gift that he's not just looking at it and saying, look, I did it all for you. Don't worry. You don't have to do anything. That would violate our dignity. So instead, he says, look, I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to invite you to be part of it so that together we can do this for others. That's the gift that he's offering. So you and I have an opportunity to be able to say, yes, I want to be part of the greatest work ever. I want to be part of the greatest act of love humanity has ever known. Or we can look at it and say, doesn't matter to me, I don't care. I just want to watch TV. I want to waste my life. Jesus said one thing is necessary, and that's him. And so we are called to love him. So if we look at this in a very particular way, how does this work? In just a few minutes, from the altar, I will turn around and I will ask you to pray that my sacrifice and yours will be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. What does that mean? My sacrifice as the priest is the bread and wine that is being offered to God. Your sacrifice is all the struggles and sufferings and sacrifices that you make to bring them and unite them with Jesus. The Mass is the sacrifice of Christ, but it is a mystical representation of the sacrifice of Christ. Jesus offered himself physically on the cross 2,000 years ago, but at Mass, the sacrifice is offered mystically, not physically. You cannot separate sacrifice and suffering. But in the Eucharist, there is no suffering. Jesus does not suffer at all in the Holy Eucharist. So if you can't separate sacrifice and suffering, and this is the mystical representation of the sacrifice of Christ, where's the suffering come from? From the mystical body of Christ. It's you and me. It's our struggles, our sufferings, our difficulties that we can bring. Put your sufferings up there on the paten with the bread. Put your sufferings into the chalice with the wine, so that at the moment of the consecration, when the bread and wine, which are ordinary natural elements, are changed into Jesus, into something supernatural, your suffering, which is normal natural suffering, are changed into the suffering of Christ, united with his sacrifice. That's what he's offering for you. And we all have people in our lives that we need, that need conversions. I'm sure there's somebody in your family, but maybe there's not. Maybe everyone in your family is already a saint. I don't know. But if that's the case, there are millions of people all around the world that need all the help they can get. So there's no shortage of things that we can offer things for. But start right within your own family. Your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, whomever. There's lots that we can offer these things for, and if we can see the good that God can bring from it, that is, from our suffering united with that of our Lord, these people can be brought to conversion. The souls of these people can be saved. They can be redeemed. That's what God is giving us the opportunity to do. That's why St. Paul could see this as a gift. So if you see the opportunity to be able to save your own children, wouldn't you see that as a gift? If they were drowning and someone said to you, look, you have the opportunity here. If you just do this, you can save them. You can pull them out. Are you going to go, I don't really want to get wet, and I don't want to drown myself, so yeah, bummer. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to jump in. You're going to save your kids. This is the salvation of their souls we're talking about. Not just saving their life, saving their souls for eternity. So do we love God and love neighbor enough to be willing to do that? Can we recognize that one thing only is necessary and we want that? Can we even look at Jesus and say, please do me this favor. Don't pass by until I can do this for you. Look what he's already done for us. Are we willing to accept that participation? When you read what the church teaches about Mass, she says that the people are to actively participate in the Mass. That has been totally misunderstood in English to mean we need to run around and do more things. We need to be more active about all this stuff. That is not what it means at all. It means the interior activity of the heart. It means that you are to be united with the sacrifice of Christ. It means you are not passive observers when you come to Mass. It is true that only the priest can offer the sacrifice to the Lord, but you have to be united with that sacrifice. And so the Lord is asking each one of us to bring our sufferings and sacrifices and unite them with his, to be part of this, not just to be sitting back watching, but to be an integral part and participant in the sacrifice of the Lord. Once again, that's the gift that he is offering you. And only if we can understand what Mary was doing sitting at the feet of Christ will we be able to understand this as a gift. Only when we can recognize that this is what he's offering to us. This is the great gift of salvation, and we can be part of it. Not just recipients of it, we can be part of the actual work. That's what he's giving to all of us. That's what we're doing here right now. And so again, as we look at that objectively, and you're being offered because you have a free will, he's not going to force you. Are you willing to be part of the greatest work in history? The greatest act of love humanity has ever known? Or do you just want to sit back and live a cushy life and have nothing to do with it? Those are the options. The Lord chose his option. He was willing to accept all the suffering for you. And he's left a little part now for you to be able to share it with him. So that's the question then that we come to. Do we love him enough to want to do that for him, for the people around us, for the souls of people we don't even know? Maybe they're on the other side of the world. Doesn't matter. Do we have enough love for God and for neighbor to be able to say with St. Paul that I rejoice in my suffering for your sake, because in my flesh I'm filling up what is lacking in the suffering of Christ?